League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to finish it off in big style here tonight. Always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You might work construction. You need the best when it comes to a personal injury attorney. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. And they are supporting soccer. By the way, Lamont Brands, that's where you go, lamontbrands.com, for the t-shirts, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, all the proceeds to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. American Soccer Now, he's Brian Ciaretta, frequent guest of this show, does great work. Brian, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me on, Glenn. It's always a pleasure.
All right, I saw the great announcement. You're going to the Olympics in France next summer. You're super excited to cover that. You've done a great job of covering these young players. You and I spoke before we got on the air today. U.S. has not been in the Olympics since 2008. And, you know, we kind of got to just think about that for a second, all that missed player development opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're getting good development on the club level, but in terms of integration into the full national team, it's a big setback, isn't it? I mean, usually the Olympics happens 2 years before a World Cup. And you go back and you look at, okay, 2000, they qualified. And you had Josh Wolf, Landon Donovan, and John O'Brien go from marginal U.S. national team players to World Cup starters 2 years later. It was a big thing for them. Then in 2008, look at the list of guys who were kind of in that same thing. And then, you know, Maurice Adus, Stu Holden, Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley, Benny Feilhaber. The list goes on and on. And then they were in much better shape to, you know, to really be part of the national team in 2 years later at the World Cup in South Africa. And then when they don't have it, yeah, it provides a link. It breaks that link in the chain for teams, players to have really good competition leading into the start of their, you know, being fully integrated with the national team.
Talking to Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now. And Brian, coach of this Olympic team, has been very much connected at U.S. soccer, Marco Mitrovic. Tell us a little bit about him, because I'm not sure the American soccer public knows that much about him.
Yeah, he was the U19 coach before he was hired. And before that, he was really learning under Veljko Paunovic, former MLS coach with the Fire. Before that, he was working with Veljko Paunovic when he was the Serbian U20 head coach in 2015, and they won the U20 World Cup. Then he went with under Paunovic as assistant with the Fire, assistant at Reading, and then he broke off on his own and took the U19 job. Naturalized American citizen from Serbia, he, you know, this is a big step up for him. I mean, I think that the initial plan was probably to have Mikey Varas, the last U20 head coach, take this job and have some kind of continuity. But then Mikey went with Greg Berhalter's staff, and you know, and Mitrovic has done a very good job with the 19s. He's worked with guys like Ben Akramashi and Esmir Baraktarevic and a lot of other really good top young American players. So players are very excited. They had a very good first camp last month when they beat Mexico 2-1 and then Japan 4-1.
Somebody under the radar right now that we as U.S. soccer fans should kind of put in our memory banks right now. I know there's a number of them, so give us one or two.
Yeah, I mean, on this team, I think you know, a lot of them. Well, if you want to go abroad, I think Rokas Puktas is up there. He's a starter for Hajduk Split, one of the great developmental clubs and one of the biggest clubs in Croatia and all of, like, really one of Eastern Europe's, one of their big clubs. You know, and then I think domestically, I really think Duncan Maguire for Orlando. I mean, 15 goals across all competitions so far as a rookie, that's incredible output. And I really like Brian Gutierrez for Chicago, the midfielder, the playmaker. I think he's a guy who could make a jump to Europe and do very well for himself. He really is a good two-way player. Those are some of the guys I think that could the other guys I think are known about on the Olympic team, like Gianluca Buzio and Tanner Tessman and those guys. But and John Tolkien. I think that those are some of the really, core guys of this team. But another good guy is Bernard Camungo at FC Dallas, the former refugee, naturalized American citizen. Great story, born in a refugee camp, came to this country with nothing. Makeshift balls he played on growing up. And now he's really lighting it up for FC Dallas. And what a story it would be if he makes the Olympic team, especially on like the NBC coverage where they like to have those documentaries on those players, that he would be just perfect for that. But it's a likable team. I really do like this Olympic team.
McGuire, by the way, comes out of the college game too, which is very, very interesting. We're talking to Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. Let's talk about some of the names we know. Let's start off with Sergiño Dest, who was a regular at the last World Cup. He's now at PSV along with Ricardo Pepi, starting to get playing time. That's good news, right?
Yeah, I mean, after last year, it was a disastrous loan to AC Milan. I mean, he didn't play at all. But you always knew his resume was, I mean, before his 22nd birthday, he played Champions League for four different clubs. I mean, Ajax, Barcelona, AC Milan, and then now it's PSV. So he's an unusual amount of experience for a player of his age. It's just about that defense. But look, PSV is so much better than everybody else in the Eredivisie this year. I mean, 33 points from 11 games. It's perfect. He's delivering. He's getting the minutes and he's doing well. And as for Pepi, he plays for Luke de Jong, behind Luke de Jong, so the minutes are going to be a little bit limited there. But I think he's going to start showing he can play more, so that Luke de Jong doesn't have to play as much at 33 years old. But I think they're pleased with Pepi and Tillman to some degree too. He's a little bit more inconsistent, some highs, some lows. But all three of the guys there, they're part of a perfect product there that's probably going to run away with the Eredivisie.
Ricardo Pepi, by the way, two goals off the bench. That is, if you are looking for a Dutch Eredivisie team, it's America's team. It's PSV Eindhoven. All right, Eunice.
And Ernie Stewart, too. Ernie Stewart's running. He has a big say in that club, too. So, yeah, it goes into the upstairs levels.
Eunice Musa at Milan has played a variety of positions, has played in the Champions League. We saw him as a holding midfielder against Dortmund. He's played high. That versatility serving him well. How do you think he's doing at Milan?
Good. I mean, last weekend he struggled a little bit because he had a cover for Christian Pulisic, who was out. So he played on the right side. Defensively, I think he's in a tough situation when he plays out wide. Those wingers can be very tough to defend in those high leagues. They're very fast, very quick. He's a guy who's born to play the middle of the field, and he's doing well. I think when you look at his age and his experience, it's a step up for him going from Valencia to AC Milan. I think Valencia wasn't always put together when he was there, but they struggled with coaches and everything else. But now he's in a more stable system. He looks the part. He has, he's very tidy in possession. And I think he's ahead of the curve right now with where they wanted him to be. I think he's doing better than expected.
Had a good World Cup as well, Eunice Musa. At Milan. Okay, speaking of Milan, Christian Pulisic seems to have found his club. He's been in excellent league form. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. He's got four league goals, had an assist to Olivier Giroud in a 2-2 draw with Napoli. But finally, Christian Pulisic seems to have a manager that fully believes in him.
Yeah, it's always been tough for him. I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons why Pulisic likes Berhalter. It's he puts him in a position he's familiar with. And they get it done. He seems to understand what he needs to do on the field and what's being asked of him. Yeah, I think it's good also that they're cognizant of his injury history, and this was more precautionary why he didn't play over the weekend and why he was subbed out at the half in the game before because of fatigue. They really want to make this work. This is an investment for them that and a player that they see as key as to what they want to do. So yeah, I think with Christian, yeah, he's in a great spot, and they're taking care of him too, not just, you know, playing him and running him to the ground.
Let's stay in the Serie A. Let's go over to Juventus and Weston McKennie at the Old Lady, playing a number of different positions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, many of us love his spirit with the U.S. national team. Door has kind of been opened with the suspension of Paul Pogba with testosterone and then a gambling problem with Nicola Fagiolo. So the door is open a little bit more for him, but he's in pretty good form for Juventus and getting the real minutes he needs.
Yeah, it's one of the best success stories. I mean, you know, coming off a loan where they wanted to sell him to Leeds. If Leeds had stayed up and avoid relegation, there was a trigger for a buy. So they pretty much thought he was done when they shipped him off. So when you come back into a situation when everyone said their goodbyes to you, you know, it's a little awkward. But he's been great, and I think he's exceeded Juventus's expectations. Now he played a little bit in the middle for a couple games there in a row, but generally most of his minutes this year have been at the right wing back position. You know, he's really blossomed into a well-rounded player that can play a number of positions well. He can fill in things, even if it's not where he wants to be playing. He can do an adequate job a lot of places just because he has a great understanding of the game, a better understanding than he ever has. He's learned a lot, and he doesn't make as many mistakes right now. He was a little sloppy. But, he's earned Allegri's trust. It's not the most exciting brand of soccer over there, but, I mean, he's just to be able to play at that level and being able to fill in a number of different positions and earn the trust of the manager, they need to have him on the field. You know, it's a really remarkable success story I didn't see coming when I saw him. I thought they were going to try to find another buyer for him right away, but they got him back in the lineup. I think even Juventus is surprised at where McKennie is right now.
Just goes to show you that things can change between club and player based on dynamics, based on injuries, based on how your value may soar. So
that, and he's just getting much more mature as a person too. You know, there's that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all these young guys we watch on the national team, we're seeing them mature. I think that's one of the exciting things about them heading into 2026. Following Balogun at Monaco, kind of a push right now?
Yeah, I think he's doing well. Monaco's always an interesting team. They're typically very good. Their support is not intense. It's a laid back kind of a club, but I mean, it helps so much that they, you know, the stars kind of aligned for him to move there. Their starting striker had an ACL tear in the spring in preseason. They needed to fill. They needed to find somebody, and they found somebody who was on the market who scored 22 goals in the same league last year. They paid a lot for him, but you know, his movement is so good, and he relies so much on the chemistry of building of his teammates around to be able to identify his runs and get behind the defense, and you know, having an understanding of him and his teammates of knowing where he's going to be. That's the challenge with the national team, you know, is develop that chemistry, and it takes time. I think he's going to be just fine in that league, and I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. Look, they're 1 point off the top of the table behind PSG, so it's he's in a good spot.
Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer. Now let's go to Gio Reyna, struggling at Dortmund with a lot of injury. Played 45 minutes, got taken off after 45 recently. What's his situation? And you know, we've said this for well over a year. Durability seems to be a big question mark with him and his career.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they kind of went into the whole season with Dortmund saying, like, we got to be very careful for 3-4 months, maybe in the first half of this, the whole first half of the season with Gio. Whether or not they believe he's part of their future, this is a club that relies heavily on selling players, and he's a very good player, and they're going to need to play him at some point to sell him. But at some point they're going to need to show he can go more than four. Even if they want to get rid of him, they're going to need to play him. Because he's that talented. So I think, you know, they're probably not looking towards a January move. Maybe if they do, it's a loan with an option to buy. They're trying to bring this in stages, and you can kind of see where it's not playing 45 minutes. Now, I think the other day he got 60 minutes or 60 or 70 minutes. I don't know, but somewhere around there. So they're ratcheting it up. And then it got dialed back again over the weekend. There's probably a real minute load specifically that they're operating under. And then every month or every several weeks, they expand upon that.
Gio Reyna, we'll keep an eye on that one because Micah tells me he's going to be moved from there at some point here.
Oh yeah,
you just can't keep doing the dance. At some point,
no,
he needs a fresh start, and they need to get some return from their investment. And we all know how highly talented he is, and I like the fact that he was playing in the 10 for the U.S. It looked nice there.
Yeah,
we'll see what the future holds. Mm-hmm. Let us, Tyler Adams, give us an update on him because he's kind of been out of sight, out of mind, and we all love him in midfield for the U.S.
Probably best that he's put out of sight, out of mind, because you don't want to sit there and cling to somebody that you don't know when he's going to be playing. Whether it was a botched surgery last summer, and he comes back, plays 20 minutes.
Is there mention there was a botched surgery?
No, I don't know if it was a botched surgery or not. I'm just speculating why it didn't work in the first place, right? You know, he had a surgery once, and then he comes back, plays 20 minutes, and then it's injured again. That something's not right. Now, I'm just saying, you know, you don't want to have to speculate things. Things are ugly. But I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting things didn't go according to plan. We're looking at probably February, March till he's back. But the real question is like, A, what's going to be left for him when he comes back? Bournemouth have been much worse than expected. They're in the relegation zone. They lost 6-1 over the weekend to Man City. So what happens if they get relegated? He probably can't run away from another relegation. You know, he did that with Leeds, but now if you're looking at a guy with, you know, damaged goods, what is Bournemouth is going to want to play him? But then what are they don't want to take the loss of selling him for a little because his market's not going to be there. He's probably going to have to stick around in the championship if they get relegated or they'll have to be some kind of a mutual, termination or something like that, low sale price. He's entering into a real, you know, dangerous situation with his club and where he's going to need to find a place to play and his career. It's at a crossroads right now, and unfortunately, not a lot of it's in his hands. Like this is he's turning himself over to medicine, and you know, you wish the best, but you know, at some point you just want to give him space, and the national team just has to just kind of move on without him. And then if they get him back at a later date, great. If not, just keep moving on.
I'm not writing Tyler Adams off.
Oh, I'm not. Well,
that kid's got intestinal fortitude. I'm not writing.
But you know, at some point you don't want to be building your team. You have to almost look. They need a back. The national team needs a backup for Tyler. They've needed a backup for Tyler for a long time. Now it's a chance to find that off. He'll be back at some point, but you don't want to just to sit there and think about him every single camp. You know, he'll get back when he's back.
One man's absence is another man's opportunity, Brian. You know that.
Absolutely.
All right. Listen, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Great stuff going through all those players. Really good insight. We'll talk to you real soon, but thanks again for closing the show out in big style tonight.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Appreciate it.
American Soccer Now, Brian Ciaretta, he's up to date on all the American players and a lot of names that we don't know that if you follow his stuff, you're going to get, and you may be tipped off to future stars. That does it here tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. Also subscribe at Spotify, Apple, Google. You can also get the podcast at ESPN975.com. And until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.